Well, good evening. I'm glad that we could be here on this Sunday evening for another worship service together, in which, as I stated and see there before you, we're going to be talking about spiritual podiatry. You know, when I post these topics on Facebook, I get a lot of responses from people, even phone calls of asking, I can't wait to see how that one turns out. So, y'all be the judge as we go along here. We know what podiatry is. You might have been to one before, a podiatrist, which is really the foot doctor, right? And so, as we think about feet, and spiritually speaking, we're going to make some comparisons physically, but the aim of this lesson is to explain that the feet are very important spiritually. And in the longest chapter in the Bible, the writer said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Some very interesting things through this study that I found interesting and might as well pique your interest is that it is interesting to note the emphasis in Scripture on the feet. Once again, spiritually speaking even, as we think about the Bible, there are actually 251 references found in the Bible regarding feet. 77 of them are in the New Testament. I said, that's something that piqued my interest. One verse that might come to mind, you might say, I'm thinking this already, Romans 10 and verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And this is actually a quote from Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Now, we understand that as we go through life, and it's just not caught up yet. I think I got it down to 71. I see a lot of fanning. But anyway, when you think about as we go through life as a parent, as Nathan and Kayla will be having theirs, Carter will be running around before long. You know, we go from the crawling process in ours, Aiden, Mark, most likely. I'm going to throw that out there as much as possible as I can get it. But I did put a little girl up there, you know, so for Nathan and Kayla's second child there. But anyways, as you grab a hold, you know, we find our feet at some time or another, right? It's a very amazing thing to find our feet. And, you know, those that have already had children and such, I remember your child discovering his or her feet in that time. And it's actually an enlightening experience for them, because then they get to run from you when you're trying to discipline them, right? We've all been there and done that. But the feet are so important. Think about it. If it is an enlightening experience for people to discover their feet physically, it is even more so spiritually. Let's take this connection here. What it's like as Christians, especially on our spiritual journey. What is it like? The feet are so important spiritually that we need to know how they are properly directed by the Word of God. You see what mom's doing there? What's she doing? She's holding her daughter's hand as she is properly directing her so she doesn't stumble, so she doesn't fall into some kind of furniture. We've all done that a time or two. Even, well, I do that occasionally now at 29. So maybe I still need somebody to hold my hand so I can get around certain places. But think about it. We understand that concept physically. When a child first starts walking, what are we doing? I remember Dylan and Shelby. I was scared that they was going to fall, and under my watch especially, while I'm watching the living room or something. Spiritually speaking, the Word of God is to be holding us upright, directing our feet in the path in which we are to go. So once again, take these physical things and apply them spiritually even. We sometimes have problems with our feet, don't we? I know that my feet hurt from standing up for a long period of time. And we today have those doctors that we talked about, podiatrists, to care for these ailments. And we need to become more aware spiritually of the importance of our feet. You remember that in the Bible, we have Jesus, who is considered to be the great what? Physician. Okay. He can take care of the eyes. He can take care of the hearing. He can take care of the heart. He can take care of all those things. He can even take care of our feet. We don't have to go to different offices, do we? We have one that is able to take care of all our ailments spiritually. So let's talk about the feet for just a moment this evening. Spiritual podiatry, spiritual health. Here we go. How God helps us with our spiritual feet for our spiritual health, teaching which way to go in life and why we ought to go there. Proverbs is a very interesting book. As you go there, we're just going to look at a few verses here and there. And we find that Proverbs, as we know, a book that gives great insight, great wisdom, and it's written to give us wisdom. Knowledge that is used, now there's a key word, in the proper way, given by inspiration so we can know how our feet ought to go. There's a verse here of Proverbs chapter 1. If you go to the first book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Resisting the encouragement, as he'll go on to say, of using the feet to do evil. Solomon said in Proverbs 1 and verse 16, if you continue on in that same chapter in verse 16 of Proverbs 1, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Notice, do not consent. Don't go in that path. Don't go in that direction. The very word consent means giving in to persuasion. Be willing. Agree to do. Giving permission. You know, that's the very interesting thing as free moral agents, is that I can decide for myself which way I want to go. I do. Because we know the Scripture says that I'm going to give an account of what I've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And it's not just in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. It's found in the book of Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians. It's everywhere. Near the very beginning of this book of Proverbs about wisdom, we are warned, first of all, about our associates, of what we allow to influence us from day to day. And sometimes this is a very difficult lesson to get across. It's hard to instill in the minds of this very important thing. Those who we choose to be our closest companions reflect our own values, and they have a tremendous influence on our values. In public confessions, how many times have people made the statement, I began to associate with what? The wrong people. I began to get in the wrong crowd. And if we associate with people who do not know God or love God, mixing ourselves with worldly desires and worldly things, it's eventually going to influence the way we think about God. That's what happens. We shouldn't be surprised if we begin to rationalize from day to day. Remember we talked about that? How gradually, remember it happens to frogs and men last Sunday morning sermon? It happens to frogs and men about how gradually things just start falling apart. It's not that bad. I didn't think it was going to get to this very point. This is not something that would hurt anyone. People just keep on choosing. As the heroes today, we see it. Those famous stars who do not love God, their actions reflect that. Their manner of life shows that they do not respect or love Him. Have you ever noticed that? How many people actually hold on to such when their hero should be the great physician that we're talking about tonight? Through music, through movies, feeding minds that they will ultimately destroy their souls. We have to watch our feet where they go. Now that's a song with children. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Remember that one? For the Lord up above, looking down in love. Remember? Be careful, little feet, where you go. Solomon is saying, be very careful who you associate with. Remember that? Evil communications corrupts what? Good morals. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It happens. Paul was telling those in Corinth the same thing that we're saying today. They run to do evil. They are interested in such. So with that in mind, think about the perils of the feet. Of course, you can see the guy, how he's let his feet put him where? On a ledge of a very tall building. That can be some perils, right? That can lead to some destruction. Proverbs 1 and verse 15, if you're still there in the first chapter of Proverbs in verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. As Christians, when we became God's people, we made that commitment, we made that devotion to Christ. By this commitment, we are, as Paul said, live and die. Remember? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, because his life was all about Christ. Because of things that he gave up for Christ. And there are people in this world who just do not understand that. They don't have a clue about why. You know, me and Ken just talking about this on the way to lunch after service this morning. We're talking about, you know, vacationing. You know, how often when we go vacationing, and so far in every one of our vacations, guess what? Sunday has been set aside for what? The Lord. That's one thing we already start figuring out before we even go on vacation. Where are the places of worship that we're going to go to? Why is that? Because that's important. You know, Kenzie had said that she was talking to someone about that, and you know, about finding going to services, and they asked her, why? Y'all on vacation. You know what Kenzie said? We don't vacation from God. I think that's a very good answer. We don't take a vacation from God. Because if we start vacationing from God, what happens? The feet start going somewhere else. They start having a different path than what God wants us to have. Men and women of integrity understand that we have a commitment to Jesus Christ. Proverbs 6 and verse 18, notice that one. Proverbs 6 and verse 18, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be, now notice the descriptive word there, swift. Notice what's happening there. Swift in running to mischief. We're talking about a heart that devises wicked plans. We're talking about feet that are swift in running to evil. Now, there is a correlation of these two things. The correlation is this. Our minds or head devise the plans of wickedness according to that scripture, and then what happens? Preparing to travel where? In wickedness. Our feet are going to take us where our minds lead us. Right? That's why Jesus was talking about the inner person, how important it is to clean the inside of the cup. Not just the outside. The inside of the cup. If you clean the inside of the cup, what's going to happen to the outside? It's going to get clean too. Because what we put in is eventually what will come out. We must be careful about the meditations of our heart. Certain things that we think on every single day. Remember what we said from Philippians 4 and verse 8 this morning? Let's look at that verse for just a moment. In its entirety there. I won't just casually go through that verse. But Philippians 4 and verse 8, he talked about just before that about the peace of God, about prayer and supplication. The peace of God surpass all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice verse 8, Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, what do? Meditate on these things. We have to ask ourselves, do I take time to meditate? We mentioned that this morning, that we're in such a hurry, we might not take time to reflect and meditate, to give God the time that he needs, that we need, for him to speak to us and for us to speak to him on a daily basis. Psalm chapter 1 is a very interesting chapter. See, that's just 6 verses. But Psalm chapter 1 has some very interesting things. As you start off in verse 1, he talks about a blessed man, a happy man. He said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates." There's our word again in Philippians 4 and verse 8, day and night. This is, you've heard this described before, but here we go again. We see and we notice from this verse 1 how this all occurs. Remember we talked about last Sunday morning, gradual process. We walked into the building. We stood where we're going to sit. We sit down, and what happened? We got comfortable in exactly where we're at. Well, that's what happens when you get to the house, right? That's just a gradual thing. If I walk in the counsel of the godly, if I stand in the path of sinners, then what am I going to do? I'm eventually going to sit down, and I'm going to make myself comfortable with it. You look at the United States of America, what has happened? They started walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They started standing in the path of sinners. They started sitting in the seat of the scornful. What happened? Things are accepted now that used to not be accepted. We become desensitized to certain things because the feet started traveling in that direction, and then the rest of it happened. Happy or blessed meditates on the day of the on the law of the day of the Lord, day and night. Here is a heart that is instead of meditating on that which is true and good and uplifting, is meditating on evil things, designing evil, even scheming, planning for that which is wrong. It's easy for the feet to run to mischief, and something that God definitely does not approve of, because he says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates both day and night. Think about that. The perils of the feet. There is definitely much to be said about that. Well, let's move on to the next one. My feet has actually done that before. You know, I thought that was kind of an intriguing picture to put forth the very idea of this. Problems with our feet. We definitely have problems with our feet today, don't we? Many times you sit there and they start cramping up. The shoes some women wear. I don't understand it, but they wear some shoes that, you know, the high heels and all that. I'm thinking, I don't understand. But I can understand probably why their feet would be like that. Take a look at Bottom McKenzie's feet whenever you have a chance. They got calluses and stuff because she's rough on her feet. She's going to get me for that one. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Think about this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. What is the relationship of the members with Christ? Think about this for a moment. If we consider our body and the way we were designed, you see the various functions of our body. We see the wonderful design of the body, and we understand that God made us in a very unique way. I'm telling you. Now, I pulled out my anatomy and physiology book today. My dad was complaining about his arm. I said, well, let me show you what your arm looks like, because he's never looked at an anatomy and physiology book in his life. He's like, anatomy and physiology, what do you, kazoom tight, you know? He didn't know exactly how to respond to those kind of words there. But I brought him out. And when you look through a book like that, that's amazing at the body in its design. No wonder the scripture says, I will praise you for I am fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. Psalm 139 and verse 14. When you think about that verse, consider what God and his design in our uniqueness. Every little member of our body is important. It is a wonderful design with all the muscles, the leaders, the nerves, the bones, the skin, and how that members of our body can respond to an order, I send it from my brain. Isn't that amazing? To think about that? fearfully and wonderfully made. Paul said that the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 15 is one of the verses that we'll see here. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now that's a good question. The dexterity of our hands surpass our feet. But aren't we thankful that we have our feet? Absolutely. The feet cannot say, I'm not important because I cannot do what the hand can do. If we become immobile, we get what? We have artificial things now, don't we? Artificial legs, artificial feet, technology. I mean, even wheelchairs. You think about how things advanced. That enables us to have mobility. Because we realize that just as communication, the feet are so important to our life. Surely there are people in the church who, like the feet, are important because what do? We are doing the work God has told us to do. The head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. Grateful for all the feet in the congregation, actively involved in serving in the capacity as Christians in the work of the church. The head tells you that you need your feet to respond. If you see danger, what do? Run. Walking in the woods, see a rattlesnake. What's the head say to the feet? Please respond immediately. There might be a please there. You know, let's get away as far as we can. There's a fire alarm in the house. What do? You take off running. Dropping whatever you're doing. And my head cannot say to my feet, I do not need you, you are not important. You don't have eyes, you don't have ears, you don't have a mouth. What do I need with you? Without my feet, I'm in a very difficult situation. Vital to the body and its functioning, as we can see through the Scriptures. The only inferior, insignificant, unimportant member of the body of Jesus Christ is the brother or sister who, through the wrong kind of thinking, concludes, I am what? Insignificant. I'm unimportant. The body can function quite well without me. Suppose that every member who is not functioning concluded that. There would be a real shutdown. If everyone in the early church had that same mentality, what would happen? We wouldn't have the book of Acts, would we? It wouldn't exist. There'd be blank pages. First Corinthians 12 and verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as what? As He pleased. As He pleased. Think about that. There are problems with our feet. But God wants us to go to Him, the great physician, and realize something else. Last but not least, He wants us to realize the possibilities of our feet. The possibilities. Here's this woman. Remember that Jesus was in the house of Simon. Simon was snubbing Him. She came in and she kissed His feet. She wiped His feet with her hair, with the tears from her eyes. I want you to think about that for a moment. Paul said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6 and verse 15. That was part of the armor. Remember how important that piece of armor is? Sometimes we might think it's insignificant. There are some people that like to go around barefooted. I remember a time where we was over there in Kima and Galveston, and Nathan decided he was going to go up on the highway with bare feet and run to the car to get something while we were in Galveston. Let me tell you something. I said something about Kenzie's feet. We'll talk about your feet. When he got back, he had blisters on the bottom of his feet. It looked very painful. And that heat. You know how important it is to protect our feet from those things? We're thankful that we have certain footwear to cover them. I thought he probably thought he was just a fast enough runner. It would never touch it, but he's not as fast as he says he is. But anyways, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul begins talking about being strong in the Lord and putting on the whole armor of God. Not just a piece here and a piece there. If we were told to go into battle right now, physically, what would we try to do? We'd either be logging on eBay or we'd find some kind of tactical store, because we need to get all kinds of stuff to make sure that we're going to be prepared for battle. Physically, we understand that. Spiritually, if we look inside us right now, what does our armor look like? Is it kind of thrown on, maybe one side? You know, is it not in its entirety as God, through Paul, said? Paul looked at the Roman soldier. He saw his battle dress. Then he started thinking, the Christian life is a battle. To be a child of God is not taking the course of least resistance. Because that's how rivers are, that's why rivers are crooked, right? Remember that sermon from a while back? Rivers are crooked because they flow by taking the path of what? Least resistance. It is a willingness to struggle, to fight, to keep on going. Never surrender. Stand and fight until the victory is won. We mentioned that verse from 2 Timothy, didn't we? I have fought the good fight of faith. He was fighting for something. Can I say as a Christian today that I'm still fighting for something? Or have I laid my stuff down and said, you know what? I'm just going to kind of coast. Are we on the sidelines watching the battle? Allowing these things today in our society to affect us and just let it go wherever it wants to go. People were changing things because they stood up and they were counted as Christians in the day of the book of Acts, in the early church. You can't go through the book of Acts and say that these people weren't vocal about their stand for truth and their stand for God. Because they were. It means we will never turn our back. Because there is no back piece in the Christian armor. You know that? There is no back piece. There's nothing back there. Because what did Jesus say? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is what? Fit for the kingdom of God. Everything that armor is about going forward. How many times you see God tell Moses and all of them, move on. Press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Pressing forward means going on to something. We have to be doing that. Not giving in, giving up, or giving out, but we stand and fight the good fight of faith because it is right. It's not easy. It's right. Can you imagine an ancient army trying to march barefoot into battle? Let's say, that's crazy. Here's an interesting thing. Washington soldiers were ill-equipped trying to go through those hard winters. They wrapped their feet. They needed some kind of protection. Right, Nathan? We needed some kind of protection. We need it. Soldiers today have combat boots, probably with Dr. Scholl's in them. If there are boots that are more important, it would be the combat boots of a child of God, if you mind using that. We have to be sure where we stand and stand on a sure foundation. You know, that's something interesting. The desperately need for our feet is to have on the right shoes. There's something interesting about shoes and guarding our feet as we're getting to the close of the lesson. We've heard many statements, but I always wondered, you know, kind of where cold feet came from. We hear that. Before I started getting married, what did they say? You got cold feet yet? I still got cold feet. No, I'm just joking. I don't. But the perception of cold feet is actually a symptom of several conditions, including nerve damage, peripheral neuropathy, sometimes seen in diabetes, where a chronic disease that affects our body's ability to use sugar for energy, or in certain vitamin deficiencies. You remember the sermon about vitamin, spiritual vitamins? Remember that one? Cold feet can be a symptom of poor circulation of the blood to these distant or peripheral parts of the body. Have you ever sat somewhere for a long period of time and what happens? You lose feeling, don't you? You know, people have lost use of their muscles because they don't walk. They don't use them. After you get through a surgery, what's the doctor want you to do? Get up and walk. Why? Make sure those muscles don't lose memory. When we go to the doctor and he says, you know what, you've got plaque buildup in your arteries. What do they want you to do? There's that dangerous word, right? Exercise. That's kind of a scary thing, isn't it? Now we've got to go and we've got to exercise. What's exercise do? It gets our circulation going, doesn't it? So that blood starts going at a faster pace than what it normally does when we're at rest. What's the Bible tell us to do? Exercise our senses to discern both good and evil. Right? It's telling us to do certain things. If I become stagnant as a Christian, my feet are going to get cold and fall asleep. Because they're not equipped with the right stuff. And if I don't have the desire here, I'm not going to be moving in the direction I need to go. Kind of gives you that idea of when you're looking for something, somebody says warmer, warmer, you get away from it, it says colder, colder. You ever think that God's saying warmer, warmer? Or he's saying colder, colder? You're not on the right path. Think about that. We must have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must be willing to have the heart right, the mindset to lead us in the right direction. Get that circulation going. And to the point where it's muscle memory all of a sudden. That's what happens. Until we are willing to take the message, we do not understand the power and beauty of the gospel. Remember that verse from the beginning, Romans 10 and verse 15? It can change a person's life. You know how we know that? Because it changed ours. Sometimes we just got to remember what it was like. If we want to fight the good fight of faith, then we must have our feet in the right direction, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So let's conclude the lesson. God's Word, as we had noticed from our Scriptures thus far, teaches us how to walk. And not only how to walk, but where to walk. There is so much in the Bible about feet. Here, y'all have something to work on throughout this week, because once again, 250, there's a lot going on there about feet in the Bible. Psalm 119 verse 105 from the beginning chart, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do I use that today? Blessed is that man, from Psalm chapter 1. Think about it. Who walks in the narrow way that leads to life, Jesus said. That understands that every member of the body of Christ is important and valuable. Refuses to follow the footsteps of those who are swift to run to evil. That we can take the spirit of Hebrews 12 and verse 13. The Hebrew writer said, make straight paths for the feet. The way we are walking right now leads to our eternal destination. Do we need to change that? We decide, we choose the way we walk. So if we have gone away, then we need to come back. The Lord has definitely not left us. It is man who leaves Him. But the opportunity is available if we need it right now. All things are ready. If you are subject in any way, and we have a foot problem right now, we have led ourselves into a peril. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?
Days are filled with